We're going to finish off Galatians 5, where we left off from, what, a month ago, I guess? So we're going to pick it up in verse 16.
Chapter
5 in Galatians. What we learned in the first part of this was that we are called to freedom, and that's freedom from the flesh and the acts of the flesh. The freedom now is to walk by the Spirit, which is that this is what's entitled, walk by the Spirit and please God. So if we remember in verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. So that's where we left off about a month ago. I hope some of you still remember that. Okay. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, Father, for the event that has just taken place. We thank you for those that have prepared this food, Father, tonight. I ask for a blessing upon them, Father, for they did take the time to do this, Father. And it was out of love. And we thank you for that, Father. Heavenly Father, we also thank you right now, Father, for what we're about to receive in your word. For these are your words, Father, and not mine. And I just pray that, Father, you give this teacher the opportunity to speak your words. And those that are hearing now, Father, let their ears be open and their heart be attuned to your spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read verses 16 through 18 in chapter 5 here. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now something must take place in every believer's life before he or she can walk by the Spirit. Does anybody know what that might be? What must take place? Surrendering, yeah. Okay. It must happen to every believer. This must take place before we can walk by the Spirit. Okay. There's three incidents in Acts. There's two positives and a negative. There's more incidents, but I just picked out these three. So let's go to Acts 8, 4 through 17. Acts 8, 4 through 17. If somebody will read that. This is a positive. Now this is just after the persecution of the church, and Stephen was just stoned, and the church has been scattered, and the apostles are still in Jerusalem. Okay? So somebody will pick this up in verse 4 through 17. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit has to come into the believer's life before we can walk by the Spirit. See, so we see this happening right here. Now, if you notice that the apostles came from Jerusalem, and now the reason for this, there has to be an identification with Jerusalem, before we can receive the Spirit. That's why the Spirit here had not fallen at the time the word was preached. Okay. They had to come from Jerusalem to Samaria and pray for the people to receive the Holy Spirit and lay hands on them. Okay, do you get that? Okay, now that's one of the positives. Now let's look at the negative, which is also in 8. It's 18 through 25, and this is dealing with Simon, who had just been baptized. He says the word says that he is a believer, and he has just been baptized. Okay, so if somebody would read that, please. 18 through 25. Yeah, amen. So we see the negative side of it here. Here, Simon, the word tells us that he was a believer. He believed. He was baptized with water. But he went about receiving the Holy Spirit in the wrong way. Okay? And that happens to a lot of Christians today. They try and receive the Holy Spirit by works. Okay? You've probably seen it and probably have heard about it, about certain believers. Now, one more positive. Go to Acts 19. 1 through 7. This has one of the most important questions in all the Bible. Someone please read that? 1 through 7? Bill, I guess you're up tonight. Everybody's sleeping. Pastor, can I lay down and teach this? I'm tired too. 1 through 7. Very important question. Yeah. So 12 of the disciples there, John's disciples were baptized with, not only they were baptized in the Lord Jesus, but they were also received the Holy Spirit. So this is what's so important about in the lives of every believer. Every believer must have the Holy Spirit before we can walk by the Spirit and please our Heavenly Father. Okay, this must take place. Now, I know there's other ways that the Holy Spirit is received. If you remember the story in Acts about Cornelius, he received not only him, but his wife, his children, his friends, all received the Holy Spirit when Peter was preaching the gospel, was called there and was preaching him, and the Holy Spirit fell upon him. And I know my wife received the Holy Spirit different than I did. I actually had to go searching for the Holy Spirit. I wanted the Holy Spirit so bad, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit so bad, I went searching for him. But it was different from my wife. Go ahead, Pastor. That's what the Word says. Mm-hmm. The key to this is believing that you have received the Holy Spirit. If you noticed, each time we read this, it was the believing part that caused the Holy Spirit to come into the person's life. Go ahead. We're created in His image, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. That's why it's up to the person that receives the Holy Spirit to believe that he or she has received it. Yeah, it's the coming upon. You have to believe. Yeah. I have a brother that's the same way. Yeah. In the Word of God, what has the power for salvation for people? What has the power? According to the Word. You remember? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that has the power for unto salvation, to save a person. People can read the Bible all they want, but they've got to hear it. They've got to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to them, what God is saying to them. This is my beloved Son. They don't get that. They just miss it. Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Not the only. No. That's okay. That's because that's what I was going to talk about anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. That was very important to get that out. If you notice in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. See, the law, the flesh puts you under the law, as we've learned in the first part of this. Okay, it's when we're walking by our flesh, we fall up underneath the law of God. His laws are effect in our lives. And they do have consequences. You can go and read them. Read all the laws. And you'll find it and read the consequences when we break those laws. So if we're walking by the flesh, we're going to fall underneath that. But if we walk by the Spirit, we're not going to be under the law. That's the difference between the two. That's pretty interesting how Paul goes on right here. In verse 19, he says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Catch that? Which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, fractions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have warned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the flesh is not just. You cannot justify yourself by the flesh. Cannot be done in the eyes of God. Even though many, many people try. And they walk around with a Christian attitude, thinking that they're holier than you, and go and do all these things that are written right here. Now, is there any of these that we don't understand? You know, these are unsafe conditions. And it's important that we understand them. Sure. We were part of it. Remember? We were part of that at one time. That was my life. I was there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I walked like that. So, like I said, it's very, very important that we recognize these. We still, some of us still may have a problem with even some of these that are in here, like outbursts of anger. You know, very common to, for the flesh to flare up like a hemorrhoid, and have an outburst of anger. See, if we walk by the Spirit, these things are controlled in our life. Okay, we can never eradicate these things in our life, but we can control them. Okay, as we'll find out as we go on, they can be controlled. Go ahead. That's why I'm saying we must be able to recognize these things. Okay, they may be still a condition within our own fleshly life that these things do sometimes pop up. Okay, there was one that stuck out to me, and it was so important. I don't know if it was sorceries, and we know that is drugs. They're the type of drugs that change a person. You know, the happy drugs, all that stuff, huh? But you know that Jesus refused something like this when he went to the cross? It was called guile. He tasted it, and then he refused to drink it because guile at that time was an anesthesiac. Yeah. It deadened the pain. I went and did a study on this, and it came from what they understood. It came from the fig tree. It's actually a disease on the fig tree that they make this drug from. Yeah, mm-hmm. They tried to. Yeah, so they tried to show some compassion about, you know, easing his pain, but he refused to take it. I mean, just think of that love. Oh man, that's something that really struck in my heart. But anyway, that's it's important that we recognize these. So let's go on. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is. What's the first thing that you noticed about this? It's fruit and not fruits. Okay, don't get them mixed up. It's only one fruit. That's the Spirit. Yeah. And he's in our heart. Exactly right. But anyway, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, here it is again. Okay? If we're led, remember 18? But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And here we see it again. The Spirit, our new life, this is us. This is the way that we walk now, is by the Spirit. Against such things there is no law. Again, it said, repeated it. So this is the fullness of the Spirit in every believer's life. You notice that there are nine of them. That's the fullness of the Spirit in your life. And I've also found that there are nine ways to please God. And I thought that was a coincidence, but it's not. See, without the Spirit, we cannot please God. We have to be in the Spirit to please our Heavenly Father. I don't know if you guys want to go through all of these. Do we have time? Okay. There are nine. Oh. There are also nine ways that we please God. Before that. About the law? There's only one. But there's nine qualities or nine manifestations that this is our new lifestyle. Is that what you mean? Yeah, this is our new lifestyle. This is the way that we walk in these. Okay. Oh, character traits, sure, yeah. Just like this list over here is fleshly traits. Yeah. This list here is spirit traits, or quality, yeah, okay. Okay. So anyway, this is the believer's new life, okay? He or she is walking in the Spirit, and these are the qualities or the traits of the Spirit in your life. These are how you're seen by others, okay? Like I said, I have found nine ways that we please God. And I thought it was just a coincidence, like I said, and it's not, okay? We can only please God if we walk by the Spirit. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:21. Will you read that? Here's one. Pay attention, pastors. Hold on. Let everybody get there, and then Phyllis is going to read it. She already raised her hand. She said she was going to read it. I like the enthusiasm. So that's how we can please God. See, it's by the Spirit. It's the preaching of the gospel. Even though it's foolishness to our knowledge, okay? To some, yeah. Okay? Another one is Romans 15, 1 through 3. Someone read that one? And someone go to Hebrews 11, 6. 15, 1 through 3. Yeah. Yeah. If you remember back in Galatians 5:13, it says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Okay? Okay? So we are to bear the infirmities of the weak, is basically what that is saying. Okay? Take care of those that are weak. Take care of them. Edify them. Build them up. Exactly right. Yeah. All right, who's got Hebrews 11:6? Yeah. Yeah, that was my case. I went searching for the Holy Spirit. I didn't. The brothers and the pastor at our church I was going to laid hands on me and nothing happened. Yeah, it is. So I went searching for the Holy Spirit. I went for Him. And I did. I sought Him with all my heart. Okay? And I received Him, so it was great. Okay? How about 1 John 3:22? Yeah. Obeying God in whatever He says. Okay? Too many times we say, we do things and say, we do it out of the ignorance of our heart and say, well, this pleases God because I'm doing this. I've done this. I've done it. You know, I would say, if I did something that I thought was good, I'd say, Father, did you see that? Remember the reward I'm going to get, you know? I've said those kind of things to my Heavenly Father. Wrong. Yeah, I want points for that, yeah. Do it His way. He won't get no trouble. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 3. Very, very important. Sexual sins, yeah. Sexual immorality. It's a big, everybody knows it's a big problem, especially for men in the church. It's a big problem. It's a big problem in the world. Jesus said that one of the signs when He returns was the same thing that was happening at the time of the days of Noah. And there was just sin everywhere. Sexual sin was everywhere. Okay? So, remember to abstain from it. Just stay away from it with all your ability and everything that God has. If we are led by the Spirit, we will stay away from sexual immorality. Okay? Galatians 1:10. Another one. How to please God. Yeah. Okay. Everybody understand that? Refusing to please men. Yeah. Please God. Please your Heavenly Father. Please Jesus. Please the Holy Spirit. How about giving to others in time of need? That's Philippians 4:18. You should know that one by heart. I think everybody does pretty much. Philippians 4:18. This was the giving to Paul on his missionary journeys. Mm-hmm. So that was sending to Paul for his missionary. Go ahead. So it's giving to others. Okay. One that not too many people know about is Psalm 69, 30 and 31. Go ahead, Mark. Read this one. Yeah. Remember, pastor's always telling us to praise the Lord with all of our heart. He's taught us that. Get out, be enthusiastic about it. Let the Lord know what's in your heart, that it's Him that you're praising. Okay? I know that a lot of us are really tired and sleepy when we get to church. We just want to go home. Some of us do it out of duty, but still yet, praise the Lord with all your heart, with all your spirit, with all your mind, everything, your entire being. All right, one more. And this is very important. 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. This is the last one. Sorry to put you guys to sleep. Okay? Just all he's saying there is keep your priorities straight. Okay? That's what it's about. Keeping your priorities straight. God first. Always pleasing Him first. Okay? Always remember that. That's one. Pardon me? It's part of it. Yeah? Sure is. Okay, now back to verse 22. If you notice the first fruit, or the first part of the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is agape, okay? It is the same word that is found in verse 13. He says, but through love serve one another. It's the same word, okay? Not to do it for a pat on the back or to show others how well you've done or anything like that. It's just the love that's within you. You want to do it. We love somebody each other so much that we'll give our life up for each other, just as the way our Lord Jesus gave his life up for us. Okay, that's the type of love, that kind of love, without any second thought about it. Okay, let's go on. In verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How have we crucified the flesh? How have we done it? Are you doing it now? Okay. I always ask these kind of questions when I read the scriptures. Lord, how am I to crucify the flesh? It can only be done with the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. I cannot do it by my fleshly powers. I can't do it. I cannot control sexual immorality. Me. I can't do it. It has to be done by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way the flesh can be crucified. How did Jesus go to the cross? How did he do it? Remember, he didn't want to. We read the scriptures. He's saying, Heavenly Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this, but your will be done. There, the Holy Spirit in his life. Okay? Same way for us, too. That's how we crucify the flesh. Paul writes how he keeps his flesh. He fights with it all the time. It's like he gives the description like a boxer. He's always fighting against his flesh because he's wanting to go somewhere else. And the Holy Spirit said, no, Paul, you got to go over here. I remember times when he wrote he wanted to go back to Jerusalem so many times, and the Spirit would lead him off somewhere else. You can read those incidents in Acts also. Okay? So it's by the Spirit. So in verse 25, again he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. How does one walk by the Spirit? You got it. Being obedient to what is written here. Okay? Remember what he wrote in verse 14? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If I am to love you the way the Holy Spirit does, or the way Christ loved us, I've got to get to know you. I've got to know you just like Jesus, our Heavenly Father, knows us, the same, very same way. That's why it's so important that we come to these fellowships, to these Bible studies. I mean, during the week, I'm sorry, my thoughts are not about you. They're about me during the week. I need this time to see your faces again, to love you again, okay? So this is how I keep that spiritual fervor up, and going to church on Sunday, hearing the word, being around my brothers and sisters. During the week, I'm around the people in the world, and all they do is talk about themselves and tearing each other down all the time. You get no love out there, none at all. So that's how we do it. That's how we do it. It's through fellowship that we can live by the Spirit and also walk by it, by him. Okay. Now Paul, in the very last verse, in verse 26, gives a warning. Okay, look at this warning. He says, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. There's the flare up again. There's the flesh flaring up. I want to be boastful sometimes. I want the Lord to see what I'm doing, you know, how great I am, stuff like that. I want to see, other people are the same way. I want to show other people what I can do, how grand I am. Okay? We do that. We do that. So that's ego. What does ego mean? Come on, Renee, you remember that one. What's ego?
You have to remind me.
Yeah.
That's not what you
thought. No, huh?
It certainly was.
What does ego stand for? Edging God out. Edging God out. Don't ever forget that, okay? That's what this flare-up... Remember, that's what Simon did back there, what we read in Acts, when he tried to buy the Holy Spirit. His ego flared up.
Oh, look, if I have the Holy Spirit, I can do this, I can do that. Look at how great I'll be.
See? So we saw that in Simon's life. So it's edging God out. So, okay. Have you ever laid the $20 bill right on top, made sure everybody saw it? Yep. Oh. So that's it. That's, if we walk by the Spirit, we'll please God. Okay? So learn these things. That's all I have for you tonight.